Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Isaiah 56. Let's read from verse 4 to 7. For thus said the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me. Now, if your Bible is your own, you need to underline that line. Choose what pleases me. This is the only problem God has. In the whole universe, that's it in front of you. People who feel that if it's convenient for them, they can choose the part of the Bible they want to obey and leave the other ones. So that's the problem. But God says to the eunuchs, and I will start with, because we have some eunuchs in this house. Hallelujah. Some of them are not even aware that they are eunuchs. He said, and hold fast my covenant. Next verse. Even to them, come on, say to them, will I give in my house and within my walls a what? And what? He will give them a place and a name better than that which is given to sons and daughters. Please, I hope you see the emphasis God is creating here. This is for eunuchs. Not for wise people. The people who think they are very wise. He said, I will give them. Woo! Wait a minute. Who is God really talking about here? Huh? A eunuch. Or people that have embraced the priesthood. May I also inform you, for those of you who are women, that this also concerns you. So don't worry, we have something for everyone. In case you are thinking this message is for the brothers, I'm happy to tell you today is a full package. I remember many years ago, I was at a crusade in a stadium. I must have been about maybe 8 or 9 years. A man of God came from maybe Lagos or somewhere. I was in Bauchi State. And I watched as the man was preaching. And the Lord was using him. People were shouting amen. All I was just wondering, like, God, not that I'm perfect, but like, I wish I could be used by God like this. That was just like, I couldn't pray. I was just looking at the man like, I think it was Pastor Kumi. So he just came to the north. So he was just preaching, my God, we transform your life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ask, believe, receive. Have faith in God. He didn't touch anybody. He just prayed. See miracles. I desired it. It was the innocence of a child. And your most powerful faith can be likened to that which is found with children. Please, I'm not... You know when Pastor Ayo came here last, he said he gave a fair goodwill message. I'm not here to give you a goodwill message. I'm preaching now. And I'm not talking to all of you. I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you. So, don't assume you will remember what I said. You have to write. And don't promise yourself you will go back to YouTube and watch it. Because you know you will not. I sat in that meeting at the the top of somewhere at the upper loft of the stadium. I was just watching. Like, how can a man be so blessed by God, Tina, to open his mouth and pray and God will hear? It's like a mystery to me. Everybody is praying. But this man prayed, Jesus, heal the sick. Jesus, heal the blind. Let them begin. Let the cripple. He said, in Jesus' name we pray. Check your bodies. See people who are crippled. That's how we knew they were. They raised the stick. And we heard from another corner, I can see. What manner of influence and power is this? Does that look like something that is stronger than your degree, your university degree? Eh? That you can pray and the heavens respond. Do you see why those witch doctors believe that you are the one that is uneducated? Because they are educated in eternal matters. They are educated in spiritual matters. And the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that everybody can come into the reality of God. The only difference between you and Elijah is that Elijah kept pressing in. You are not. The only difference between you and Deborah is that Deborah found a God that she could not deny. You are just waiting to get married using the anointing. Deborah became so strong that men lined up behind her. You know, men can follow women. It's women that can't follow women. See, what's all you talk about this attitude? What's that? For a woman to follow a woman, there must be a reason. Women don't follow them for what? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Well, you are just. If you see women addressing themselves, you'll be afraid. You want to marry one of those guests. When you see them doing it, you will just say, let me be a eunuch. they don't send themselves, so they're like that. just leave them when they are fighting. They'll be all right. Don't try to, you people should be calm. No, leave them. They'll be fine. I was in that meeting, but a seed was sown. I didn't even know how powerful that seed was until when I traveled to Yola. Like 3-4 years ago. And here are about pastors and their wives, their children, about 1,000, 1,005. That was the first crusade they were holding in that town. Forgot the name of that town now, but that town is a Christian town. It shares border with Sambisa Forest. So that was my first time in Yola. I forgot the name of that town, but it's a Christian town. The last time a great man, not man of God, visited that place, it was Shekau. You know Shekau, brother Shekau. It was Shekau that came there and killed a lot of pastors. Those that survived, he cut off one hand. Say no church must hold there again. No service. So that was their first meeting since that period. And they invited this pastor wearing body hug and jeans. In fact, while we were traveling from, because I had to fly to Yola. Yola is very far, even with air, by air. It's not like Abuja that you just shut your eyes. You say we are about to land at what's the name of that airport at Abuja? Whatever their name is, they just pick you and drop you at the next street. You are already in Abuja, from Lagos. Abuja is just the next street. Yola is even on air is still a distance. Then to that village, from Yola to that town is 3.5 hours. You just see dust. At some point, the way all the men in the car were just looking straight, I was even scared. Like, my boldness has finally landed me in trouble. I wanted to go to Lagos and boast that I went. I shook the place. Ha! And I saw their faces. And God, just if you can return me to Lagos, I will not try it again. I wore a yellow t-shirt, body of jeans. So they were a bit disappointed. Like, this Lagos pastor. But it was convenient. Eh? If I know that one bandana or something, so that they will be confused. For me, when I know you have an expectation, I will dress in a way that if they tell you it's a pastor, you not believe. I like my... I'm also a human being now. What do you mean? I should now... One day I call somebody, I say, go and get me cassock. Go to Saint Dominic. Where is that that one at Yaba? I say, get me three different colors. Kilode. Because even as a pastor, when I get up on Sunday morning, I struggle to what to wear. Like, you don't have clothes again. I go on YouTube to check all my YouTube. I say, you want this suit? You want this one? This one is like 5 years old. I beg. Where they look me. So at some point, I came here last year. I said I was going to buy t-shirt that I'll be dressing like Mark Zuckerberg. Same color. So I don't have to worry about color. Just take it like that. When I got to Yobe, that village, the situation was very dire. My dressing was a matter of discussion. But can I tell you something? It's okay for people to misunderstand you. But those that know their God, God should not misunderstand you. You should not misunderstand yourself. You must know what you carry. You must know it. I didn't say positive confession. I didn't say head knowledge. I say you must know what you are carrying. You must know the nature of the spirits that are living on the inside of you. I was with a man of God. And while we sat in Spalo, people came and were massaging. He said, Benga. Benga. I said, I hope you don't mind. I didn't know where he was. He said, you know, because of the seven spirits of God that I'm carrying, sometimes I have joint pain. I didn't see that coming. But look at the way he interpreted what was going on in his body. He said, I'm a carrier of the seven spirits. I'm talking about Reverend K. When he spoke, he said, I'm a carrier of seven spirits. He said, it was a combat. He wasn't saying, let us pray. We were just talking. He said, I carry seven spirits. He said, because of that, sometimes my body is heavy. Can you see mindset? Are you here? Are you seeing mindset? If you see, if the Lord permits a battle to come into your space, it's because he knows that thing is below you. The scripture established and said, the Lord will not permit any temptation that is above you to come to you. So the moment the battle comes, it means God just wants to reconfirm that the upgrade they did overnight, is fully active. So don't, what is that cry? Pastor, I'm calling you, you're not picking. They say reduce, downgrade the operating system. God already made you a promise. Said, I will not allow any challenge, any trial, any temptation above your level to come to your doorstep. He already said it. Why are you crying? This is your cry. We will downgrade your this year. You will not go to secondary school. You will stay in primary 6. When I stood on that pulpit, I started preaching about the power of God. And about how God, and you know, when they spoke to me, when the PFM pastor chairman told me about how this is the first crusade, that the people in this meeting are not just church members, they are pastors. Some of them have lost their husbands, some of them lost their wives in that crisis, some of them have one hand, one leg. I could not pray, but I was moved with compassion. And you need to know and understand that compassion is a trigger that God pulls when he wants to release his power. And that's why when you waste your emotions on things that have no eternal value, there is nothing for God to pull. There is no trigger left for God to pull and release his power. You must guard You must guard and guide your emotions, because that thing is a trigger. Come on, what did I say? I say your emotions are a trigger. You must protect it. Don't waste it on anybody. The person must deserve it. Don't have feelings for someone and say you fall in love. No, love the person, then have feelings. It's a difference. Once you have feelings for the person, anything you say, you can't be trusted. Because feelings have no sense. Emotions have no sense. That's why good girls fall in love with bad boys. Emotions have no sense. And that's why you see a guy that is decent, he's ready to take you serious, but he's not tall enough. Because you are still thinking like you're in secondary school. Do you think when married people gather, they are talking about each other's height? They are talking about bills. Your children, how much is the fees you are paying? That school is even bad. Your children, I'm moving my children to your own school. That's what we are talking about. That your car, what's the efficient? This is very good. In fact, let me link you with my mechanic. That's what we'll talk about. Say, sorry, your wife, are you trying to make her increase her height? Do you think when you are paying bills, you remember your wife's height? You better marry and leave the market. Stop looking for... God made some toy, made some short. That's the way it is. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Sit down there, decision, and say, the one that has height, don't let me divert my message, Abel, because I don't know who is there. Go and marry. Tell your neighbor, go and marry. Go and marry. Be deceiving yourself. Say you are looking for height. You want someone that... It may be okay today. Will it be okay tomorrow? I say it will be okay today. Do you know the future? Why are you calculating as if you know? Pray. Look for patterns. Patterns never lie. Pattern. Anything is doing nice, what you will do in the next sense. Patterns don't lie. Bloodlines are more powerful than prophecy. Bloodlines, they are very powerful. Ask him, who is your father? Who is your grandfather? Ask straight question. Not that I say, let's go out for lunch. Lunch for what? So this, you came to this world to eat. The eating should be a place for conversation. Tell me about your dad. Oh, he's an engineer. Oh, fine. Where is that? Your dad moved from Kano to Benin, just like that. See, he just woke up and says, "Eh." Even your grandfather, I don't. You know, it's just like in my family, people don't wake up. This one just wakes up and says, "It's moving." He just wake up. I'm not doing it again. Just wake up. No. I love you, but you are not my husband. This sudden. Just wake up. Let's go to Benin. Just like that. Man, I cannot do this one. I can't. It's too much heartache. Anyway, whoever has that message has gotten it. When I stood on that altar, you know, I remember that pastor, you know, as a young boy. So I stood on that altar and I said, "It's time for you to receive your miracles." You know, I said, "It is time. It is time." The moment I said it, that was the trigger. I said, "It is time," because now faith is. Now faith is. When you go home, look at the mirror and call your name and say, "Tina, it is time for you to be married. It is time for you to have your child. It is time for..." What? You say, now faith is, because faith is a product of revelation. Once faith is born in your heart, it's like a child. It's like a seed. The trigger is your tongue. The trigger for faith is your tongue. Pop! Release it. That's why God didn't come in Genesis 1 and start saying, "Let there be..." No, he allowed the spirit to brood. He allowed the spirit to brood over the face of the waters. It was brooding. It was brooding. And there, when the temperature was right, say, "Let there be light." Bah! Instantly. The problem is that you just want to say it. No, there's a process. You have to allow the Holy Spirit marinate. Take over that atmosphere. Condition the temp. I'm telling you the key to the miraculous. That's why you find that pastors many times, they will say, come on, let the worship team. They worship because that atmosphere is very important. If not, the words he says will be empty. I stood on the altar and I said, now it is time for you to receive your miracles. I'm speaking to pastors. Many of them have gray hair. They are older than my father, wherever he is. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive. There's no time to be mentioning all the problems. It's one level you have to. It's another level. You pray a general prayer. I saw more than 25 people who could not bend down for years. More than 25. They couldn't bend. Some have never touched their toes in years. Came out. See, as he prayed, something snapped. As he prayed. Some, as they were hearing the testimony, they were hearing pa, 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 pa. They were also getting their miracles. I told the story of one man in that meeting who said, I cannot go. Do you remember? He said, I prayed for this woman that the heart condition, that they say that his own pain did not go. In front of live camera. In my mind, like, it's in Lagos. The ushers will just escort him. Escort him. So, pastor will see you later. Moti Loni, yeah. I don't go. The pastor said, no. Say you, no. There's a tall brother. I'm in his zone. I don't know anywhere in all this area. This guy said, no. Say the God that did this, so must do this. That this heart, the pain is too severe. Today you will not agree. Look at that desperation. Hey, in my. I was just saying, don't worry, Jesus. In my mind, I wish I can't bad market with this. Go and sit down. Jesus, it's not everybody that will get here today. But that was him. The guy almost destroyed the remaining faith I had. I just say, okay, let's stretch our hands to him. You just maintain your steeze. Just say. I now touched his heart. Then I remembered everything that is created as intelligence, which means you can talk to it. Sometimes you are praying. What God wants you to do is talk. Talk to the problem. Talk. Pain. Expire. Repair the tissue. God, let your power flow. With my hands, repair the heart, repair the vessels, the blood, the arteries. Then I did something that was risky. I said, check the pain again. I would just pray, I would have just prayed a general prayer and say, go and share your testimony in your churches. Save myself this embarrassment. The brother told me, say, I wanted to beat him. I want to finish my ministry. In Lagos, we just pray. Go and check your. Someone came, he said, I know. Say, I've been going about. It's not going anywhere again. That today. Come on, say today. Listen, on this mountain. The scripture says, there shall be deliverance and holiness. Where is that scripture? Zebadah. 17, right? Please put up that scripture because I want to touch on something now. Some of you have not experienced instant miracles before, so today we'll test it. Amen. There are two ingredients that I want to look at here. He said, but on Mount Zion. Come on, say on Mount Zion. He said, I want to welcome you to the mountain of the Lord. Because on this mountain, there shall be what? There shall be deliverance. These are the expectations God wants you to have when coming here. Say, when you come, there will be deliverance. The doctors might have told you anything. Say, here, we'll set you free. Say on Mount Zion. He says on Mount Zion. I don't know about that mountain. There's a mountain of Esau. Say, but on Mount Zion, it is a statement of fact. It is not a promise. It is a statement of fact. This will happen to you. They gave, if you have received a verdict of death in the spirit realm, on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. Shall be deliverance. He said, and there shall be holiness. Which means that you need deliverance. You need holiness in order to possess your possessions. A lot of people want deliverance, but they don't want holiness. And what is holiness? It means to be separated unto God. When you hear that you are holy, most holy, that some of these worship songs, people don't understand that the word holiness means separation. It means God is in a level by himself. It's in a dimension. When you think of the category of spirits, God is in a class by himself. He is the only Elohim, that is Yahweh. With the word Yahweh means he is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Which means when other gods see him, they call him God. They lose their status. So when he tells you that this on this mountain there shall be deliverance, there shall be deliverance, it's because he wants your expectation to be as high as the declaration. He wants your expectation to be so ripe that you know that when you leave this place today, every strange odor in your body that you normally perceive will just expire. You won't see it again. Amen. Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and he is forever. He saw a dead child being taken to the burial ground. Bible says he touched the coffin and life answered. He touched the coffin and the one that was dead came up again. If there's something wrong in your body this morning, I want you to hear me. On Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be deliverance. There shall be deliverance. There shall be deliverance. Listen to me. It's very important for you to know this, because modern day Christianity denies deliverance. They deny the power of God. They give you a version of it that looks like it is real, but they deny it. It's just like you asking your doctor, "Doctor, will I get well?" Say, "Well, I'm not sure. I have a video on my phone. I wanted to post on my state. I said, I don't want to cause spoil. Let me just be enjoying the video alone." The video said, the shock on your face when you realize that the doctor that is about to treat you got his degree from ChatGPT. You know, the thing about ChatGPT is that you don't have to be intelligent. It takes away the process of study. So, which means you are not really intelligent. So, when let's say we don't want him to die. Oh yeah, pump his heart. Then the doctor walks in. And is that your friend that was always studying ChatGPT that is coming to save your life? I say, Abel, don't worry. Let me just die, because this one will now, if I was supposed to leave, this one will now kill me. This boy, this one, Chuku, this one, it's a church, it's a Google doctor. It's not a real doctor. But the promise that God brings to us today is the promise of his power. He said, on this mountain. So you will now find that when the Lord says be separated, it is for a good cause. Because there are two things that must go together. You see, the thing about your possession is that you don't even know what they are. The things that the Lord has promised to you and kept for those who trust in him. Many times you only have an idea. You really don't know. You really don't know. There are things in the spirit realm that are very scary. If you see how much God has invested into your own personal security, how much? God has invested. Do you know that there is no true Christian that is ever alone at any time? I'm not asking if you know, I'm actually trying to appeal to your spiritual sense of knowledge. Do you know that there is no genuine Christian that walks the street, that stays in the house without angelic backup? Do you know that there is no time that you are ever really alone, even when you think you're alone at home? Say, hello, babe, how are you? Say, I'm just fine, I'm alone. You are not alone at home. Depending on your destiny and your calling, you may have more angels in your house than people. You may have the angel that was assigned to you at birth. You may have the angel that is assigned to you because of the geographical area. If you are living in Iran or Iraq, you will need more backup. If you are living in Syria, you may also require more angels because of your ministry. If you have a specific type of anointing or calling, the angels in that category, they will assign some. So you may find one person in the midst of 20 angels walking on the road. But the man thinks he's alone. The woman thinks she's alone. He says, God, why have you forsaken me? Ah, you have that here, only you. You have that angel. Can you imagine how ungrateful? Hey, Michael, come, see your friend. 30 angels. She's going about telling people, I don't know what I did. My God is not saying, only you. That you should have died since 7. Do you think the angels are waiting for you to say, angels go? They have their marching orders. Nothing must happen to Tina. God told them, say nothing must happen to her. They have their marching orders. Keep her safe. But you see, this matter of separation, consecration, will limit the ministry of angels in your life in a terrifying way. You will be gifted by heaven, but living like a mortal man. You will be blessed and anointed, yet the anointing is useless. You can't dispense it. You can't use it. You can't use it for yourself. You can't use it for others. You are just there. Do you know how much God actually invests in your personal security? Do you know how sad it feels like to put so much artillery, military personnel? Do you know angels are military personnel? Spiritual military personnel. Go and live with her. They live in us. They don't go anywhere. I am telling you that your small studio house, I said they live there with you. I want it to sink into your head to know that you have never been alone at any time. And for you to trigger the ministry of angels, there are at least two things among others you can do. Number one, angels congregate in the environment where there's praise. They congregate. Now, can I shock you? If there are two believers living in this building, two believers, one upstairs, one on the ground floor, and the one on the ground floor, or the one on the top floor, wakes up in the morning and says, you are the Most High, you are the Most High God. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. As he's singing, he's walking into the bathroom to brush. You are the Most High. You know, one of the things that the angels marvel at is how we can be so weak, yet we have faith in God. How we can be so frail in our bodies. It is a marvel for them because angels are not created weak. They don't know what it means to be tired. They don't need sleep. They don't need to have faith. So when they see a person who has lost her husband, when they see someone who has lost his wife, when they see someone who is going through a severe health condition, and he wakes up in the morning and says, you are the Most High. You are the Most High. Hey, you are the Most High. He's living in a one-room apartment without light. Anytime the thunder strikes, everything catches fire in the room. You are the Most High. See, this guy is so far. You are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High. Jehovah, you are the Most High. You didn't get the promotion, but you are the Most High. You are the Most High God. When the angels that are assigned to the brother downstairs wonder what is why this one is still sleeping. You call the one upstairs. How's it at your end? Everything's fine. He's praying. How about you? Angel, now you they breathe like that. The guy watch TikTok. When Angel starts speaking in Pidgin English because of you, say watch TikTok till 2 a.m. See the way he's come and see the way he's snoring. See the way he's snoring. See the way he's snoring. Hey! Say, I don't know why they assigned me to this guy. This one. Say, you have to stay there. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad. If God opens your eyes to see the conversations there, you'll be afraid for yourself. You will jump out of your skin. When it is now confirmed that you will not wake up, and when you wake up, you start with channel television to listen to all the bad things going on in Nigeria. And then God's power wakes up. You are the most. He said, you know what? Let me come and join you upstairs. This one will be all right. Even if he wakes up, he's still channel television. So let me come up. They because angels gravitate. They cannot resist any environment where authentic praise is being given to God. That is why the devil is interested in the music industry, in music ministry. He tries to dilute it so that when you have people who are truly called to bring us to God's presence, he will bring artists and dilute them. You dilute artists, you confuse us. Sorry. Me, I am a music minister. I'm not an artist. To be a music minister, I don't need to have any album. I don't need to have a band. I don't need to have a team. I just need to have a heart. So how many music ministers do we have here? Huh? If your heart is for worship, you are the one I'm talking about. You don't need to have a good voice. You need to have a heart that was made just for worship. So the subject of praise, because these are activities that go on 24 hours around the mountain of the Lord. But if you don't know, you will think that you are just here watching all the trees and looking at that bush over there. There are things going on here. Just that on this mountain, we have people with eyes. We have those who cannot see. So the sign that you cannot see is that you will always complain. It's one of the signs of spiritual blindness. You will always have reason to complain. I said it's one of the signs for spiritual blindness. When you see someone that is spiritually blind, they will always have a reason to complain about what is going on. Are you here? Are you learning? Are you learning? Somebody's eyes are opening now. Look, let me tell you something. This is how I know when it's time to go on a retreat. Number one, I start complaining. Number two, my anger level shoots up. Okay, it's time to fast. This thing is not all right. One of the things that prophets struggle with is depression. Yeah, a lot of people don't know. Sometimes when you call in the middle of the night, you know, have you heard me say that I don't discuss important matters at night? That's part of it. So except it's an alert or something that makes people happy naturally. I think alert, general credit alert, make people smile. And if the alert is from someone you are not even sure, you can't see the name, so you don't know who to say thank you to. Just watching. Yeah. After you watch it again, especially if that's your last card. Or when they tell you that, somebody put to bed. There are things that when you hear. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get my eternal cancer in the middle of the night, don't call me. Just send a voice note. I will listen and I will not respond till the next morning. So I have to be sure I'm the one talking. Because if you tell me you want to kiss, I may say, okay, go ahead. And I didn't listen to the whole thing. It's just, good evening, pastor. There's something I need to do. That's what I heard before I dozed off. I'll just say, go ahead. Meanwhile, you said you wanted to kiss me. That's a pastor said. It's not me. So just wait till morning when my brain is clear. So when, if you're a prophet and you always struggle with depression, and the reason why we struggle with depression is because most of the times we are preaching to people who are not living in the reality of the things we are saying. So it can be very depressing for us. Sometimes it's very painful when it's someone who just heard you once. Somewhere in one country, just reach out. You say, oh, I saw your number online. You know, I went to search for you. You went to search for me. Where are you from? He said, South Africa. Eh-heh. Tell me, what are you talking? He said, I was listening. I'm like, say, but God's power has been with me since. Is this not what I've been sharing? But Tina has been, like, I'm happy for your testimony, but you are in South Africa, I'm in Nigeria. I want this same testimony for my people. So it can bring a lot of depression, which is why when you are called to the power ministry or to the prophetic ministry, you cannot be far from the environment of intense praise and worship. It suits the mind. So if you want to attract angelic ministry on the mountain of the Lord, you have to give yourself to worship and praise. One element that goes very closely with this thing called praise and worship is that you must also be a participator. A lot of people, in trying to praise God, put on the CD and they are listening. They are not participating. They are listening. There's a difference. And how you will know that you have gotten to that bus stop is where you don't even care about who is beside you again. Are you still here? And God is taking you higher. Because look, let me tell you. When there's a contention on your business, it's because the devil knows your prophecy. So many times, it's not really about what you have to do. There's only one thing God requires from you. Keep standing. There are warfares that don't break because of prayer. They break because you keep standing. Yeah. When the devil sees that you are not shaking, oh, I know what God said to me. You stand on it. And then the door to nations, I'm talking about business, it will just open. Bah! Because of times, times, and the times. And I'm looking at somewhere between the next 2-3 years. You get a door that will open to you. Huh? You get a door that will open to you. They will not know you. They will just trust you. Huh? So, stand. Stand. Like this. Stand. Because for every prophecy, warfare will follow. And all God wants you to do is just stand. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I will stand. The Lord will bring your clients. And for all of you that are in business, the Lord will bring your clients from across the waters. God bless you. Tell your neighbor, stand there for. Tell your neighbor, stand there for. You see, you've got to have an attitude with spiritual things. The problem is that sometimes when we talk, Satan is not even sure if we are playing. Or whether we mean it. Stand there for. There's a fervency of spirit that must go with your prophecy. When God speaks to you, he expects a it was not the prayer of Elijah. It was the fervent prayer of Elijah that availed much. One of the ways they knew Christians in those days was their fervent praying. And I'm not talking about just raising your voice. I'm talking about the tenacity, the energy flow. You may be in your room, nobody's hearing your voice. But the way you are praying, anybody who comes there will go out. They know that they can't disturb this one. If somebody sees you pray and they say, please, can I get 500? Where's your purse? Where's that Bible I gave you? My sister, the Lord is talking to you. He's trying to tell you that your prayer has not started. If somebody sees you praying and ask the God to come to you and say, sorry, where's your charger? And for all of you that need to repent, hear me. If you are the kind of person that only raises your voice when people now come in. Well, you know, I've done it before. When I'm praying, someone now puts, come on, and I'll raise my voice. Don't disturb me, I'm praying. Who is in that? Who has been in that WhatsApp group before? You just raise your voice. I'm fervent. I've been praying for 3 hours. Meanwhile, you are thinking of sharing the grace. So the moment the person opens, you say, Holy Ghost. I think sometimes God must have a good laugh. That is why it's just Nigerians are interesting. Listen to me. The force of praise, followed by your part. anticipation. If you know that living with people or having a roomie or a roommate will hinder that participation, I beg you, leave alone. Because your energy, the aura around you, flows with this kind of thing. If your roommate or whoever is the one that will complain, even though it says in Bible study unit, but he's always complaining, somebody will have to move out. Or you have to accept me. When I pray loud. You have to tell, so you want to stay with me. When I pray, I shout, hope. Oh yeah, sign here, sign here. Because tomorrow, so I say, I shout when I pray. I don't do silent prayer. Are you okay with it? Don't just say yes because you want to stay with me. Think about it too. To be forewarned is to be... Please tell your neighbor participation. It's very important to participate in worship. It's not song. It is worship. Worship is the channel through which you are giving your praise to God. Some people can do it through poems. It's still the same thing. You can do it through hymns. It's still the same thing. There has to be a channel. Worship flows through a channel. And you have to find what works for you. If you go to Winner's Chapel at Otter and you don't dance, even you will know that you did something wrong. Because the energy there is crazy. The energy is crazy. You will move your body. You will know you have sinned against God because the energy here is crazy. Who has been to Canaan land before? Am I lying? They've done something to this thing called praise. It has, there's, wait, you see one fine girl that you like, trying to smile. When they start praying, she will change. You will see, she's not coordinated. She will throw it in your face. Oh, girl, you are not dancing. What's your problem? Are you new here? Those who are here know the way we do it. Then you praise God. You go to some other place, they have mastered that thing called worship. They just, for the sake of nomenclature now, you know what I mean? You know, worship, just journey with God, they build on that momentum and the atmosphere becomes very tense. There's one other thing that I have found that works like mad. As it has to do with the ministry of angels. And may I tell you that there are different types of angels. Do you know that there are prophetic angels? Some of you don't know. Have you ever heard a pastor say, angels can't preach? That is not their work. You've not met a prophetic angel. Have you heard people say that? Have you heard? If I enter this one, I will just take it to the Old Testament. Go and look at all those. What's his name? Jeremiah, Ezekiel, talk about Daniel. Do you understand what thou readest? Say, do you understand? How will I understand? Except a man shows me. Say, he brings him into the temple, shows him the measurement. It's not every angel in heaven that is singing, you know. Some understands measurement, mathematics, further mass. They speak in numbers. While you are singing and dancing, my leka, these ones will come and measure and tell you this is the division of this. This is what it represents in the plan of God. Moses ensured that you build this temple according to the measurement. There's maths. Maths didn't start with Pythagoras. There are angels who aid our work. There are angels whose job is to bring update and relevant information, news. There is an angel when I was studying William Branham, there's an angel that would come to him while he was preaching. William Branham is a very boring preacher. If popularity is by preaching, I preach better than William Branham. At least most of you are not asleep yet. William Branham, one of the things that is popular in his meetings is that people sleep. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus will save you. Jesus died for you. He was not eloquent. Jesus says that if you believe, you hear people snoring inside the church. People that came to sleep. If you have sleeping problem, you go to William Branham's church. You sleep. That 1 hour, your body will reset. But while he's preaching, he made a statement. He said the angel normally walks in, comes in through the door. So the moment he sees the angel, most times the angel is holding a scroll. The angel will open the scroll in front of him. Say, are you Linda Oxford? Say, yes. Do you live on number 9 Birmingham Street? Say, yes. You are the doctor treated. He's not looking at you. He's reading what is in front. He said, you are the doctor treated. He goes, there's somewhere around here. I'm all right. Sister, I'm all right. Say, yeah. There's a pain around here. In fact, the doctor touched it just the way I'm doing right. They say, yeah. Okay. So the doctor said there's a movement in the cartilage. And he's reading the thing. The guy did not go to school. He's reading. He said, okay. So that's it. All right. Be healed in Jesus. He will not lay hands. He will not push. He will just say, you are healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The scroll will change. Who is Tony Evans? Praise God. You're 39 years old. Are you born on the 16th of April, 1970? That's the way he prophesies. One day somebody asked him, an interviewer, how are you able to prophesy with so much accuracy? I like those kind of questions. And answer them. It's a very old video, black and white. He said, you know, well, most times when I'm just teaching, it's just like looking over the wall, you know, just look over the wall. Say, as long as I'm, he said, you know, if I just lift my head, you know, over the wall into the next street, I just stretch. He said, as long as I keep stretching, I continue seeing. What is the stretching was talking about? The stretching of faith. So while I'm preaching and prophesying to you, I'm in my spirit. Lord, is there any other thing? Is there another? I stretch. Then you begin to get, and the details are very deadly accurate. What is this key? Because many are on the mountain of the Lord, but they don't know how to transact here. And these are some of the tools I'm putting in your hands, so that you will not just be doing Yinka Efele and Merrymakers. I need you to understand the power of what is in your hand. When you say you want to worship God, you have to be careful and differentiate it from when you just want to have a good time. Because worship is powerful. It is a language. It is a weapon. People have come into covenants and initiations by listening and singing to the songs of Beyonce. They have come into covenant by listening to some of this hardcore rock music where you really didn't know. But when you started looking at the lyrics, I made a deal with the devil. I sold my soul. I drank the blood. But they were rapping. Those type of songs, nobody really pays attention to the lyrics. You just move your body because of the beat. Bam, 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 like a robot. Bam, bam. Until one day somebody said, can you imagine? The goat shall, how do you put it? Who is that song? The lion shall bow down to the goat. And something. I think it was this guy. No. Is it Ken Franklin? Like, do you know in the scripture there's, do you know that statement is powerful? The lion shall bow down to the goat. Do you know who the goat is? In the occultic realm. No. If you say devil, you are not even getting it. Do you know what the goat is in the occult realm? It's a god called a Baphomet. Baphomet is the god that prospers people in the music world, gives them prosperity. But look at the way he coded it. Say the lion will bow down to the goat. It looks like rhyme. That's why you see they use the sign of the horn of the goat. You just think it's what hippies do. You know, you're not paying attention to the sign. Me, when I come there, I put on my spiritual spectacles. I want to see what you're saying, bro. Talk to me. Sing. I want to see your hands. I want to see your motion. Some of those things. There was a song I was discussing my yesterday. When Beyonce used to be my sister in the Lord. She wasn't popular then. There was a song she sang. I really don't know most of all the songs, but I saw the video where she said she became a bad girl. And there was, then there was a car explosion. Then she emerged looking seductive. That was her initiation. She only demonstrated, because it is not only God that demands you to make a public show of your faith. Satan does. You want me to bless you? You will stand. There was one artist recently that put blood, human blood, in his shoes. He made... I don't know who these guys are, not Christians, so I don't really know their names. But it was on TV. He produced his own shoes, like trainers, and inside at the sole, there was blood, and he said it's human blood. I listened to one woman recently, is it Megan or something? One of them, she said she consumes human blood. It's on YouTube, go and check. Megan something, I don't know. But if I find it on YouTube, I will post it on the church group. These are your heroes. Taking blood. But when you want to tithe, when you want to give, do you think someone that consumes human blood, if she has money, she won't build a temple for Satan? The spirit realm is about laws, rules, sacrifice. And I am telling you that one of the sacrifices the Lord has commanded of his people is the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. It is so easy that we miss it. In those days, our parents didn't know so much about the Bible. When we woke up for morning devotion, you will hear, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the... Even in our fellowships, we used to sing it. We didn't need drum. We didn't need keyboard. Hey, we bring the sacrifice of praise. If you don't know that song, you're a Gen Z. Of the Lord, as we offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, as we offer unto thee a sacrifice of praise.
Man of God, we sang that song for years. Nobody among us was fornicating. The moment we started, do you want a revolution? Whoa, whoa. The moment we started.
Are you still here? I joined them. We didn't see the big picture. You know, I spoke to you about higher time frames. We didn't see the big picture. We just thought, oh, it's something new that God is doing. And it's not, believe me, it's not the dance, and it's not even the type of song. The moment God started raising him, we should have asked him, sir, what do you believe? Who is your pastor? Tell us your conviction, because your conviction will always flow through your music. We should have asked. We didn't bother. Say, what is in Sokoto is in your Sokoto. What they are saying is that what you are going to Sokoto to look for is here. You don't need to go to the world. Before we knew it, we are all in the world. There is something that I have noticed attract angels like mad. They can't resist you. It's called the fear of the Lord. Say, the angels of the Lord account those around those who what? Who fear him. The angels of the Lord encamp. Do you know what encamp means? They will come around you. They will surround you. You didn't pray for it to happen. You didn't say, God, where are your angels? Where I can't see them. Where are they? I'm in trouble. Once you are living the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord here, meaning that you are taking every major decision with deference to God, not to how you feel. If we want to see God's glory here, these are the ingredients. Oh. Even when you take off your shirt, take off your singlet, and take off your socks, at the last minute you step on that bed. What are you doing here? Then you reverse again. Singlet will come up. Knicker, socks. You are suddenly in your house again. Because of a sudden, that, you see, the fear of the Lord is God's last line of defense for you. The fear of the Lord is God's
defense, like the last line. Once that thing is taken out, you are gone. The day you no longer feel it, you need deliverance. You need to run to the altar. Come and collect the church key. Come and be praying here for 7 days. Collect the key. We'll give you the church. We'll go and meet somewhere else on Sunday. Just be here till you settle yourself with God. That fear of the Lord is the last line of defense that God has put for every believer. The moment you no longer have anything holding you back. I'm not talking about pastor. I said the moment there's nothing restraining you and you can fall headlong without that voice speaking loudly and say, don't do it. That money is not yours. Don't take it. Don't take it. Many pastors will go to hell. Eh? Not because they are not preaching. They stole church money. They will go to hell. Even they say, by grace are you saved? You will go to hell. You go to a thief. You go to because the book of Revelation is very clear. All those who steal will have their part in the lake of fire. It doesn't matter if you ask, accept you as my Lord, as Savior. Today I become a child of God. My name is the book of life. You are going to hell. I told somebody, I say it's better for you not to be a pastor than to go to hell because you're a pastor. Go and sit down. Jeje. Don't preach again. Because what you are doing, your heart is filled with unforgiveness. Your heart is filled with bitterness. You say, the way I'm looking at you, you will not make heaven. And you're over 60 years. I told you, I said, you will not make heaven. Toshin Loi. I said, you will not make heaven. The fear of the Lord. Please let me preach to anybody and say the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is God's master strategy. If you want to know if God trusts you, look at your inclination towards the fear of the Lord. Please, Busayo, write that one down. If you want to know if God trusts you, look at your inclination towards what? The fear of the Lord. If you want to know how much God trusts you, look at your inclination towards the fear of the Lord. Anytime the Lord pulls you back, how quick are you to respond? If you delay, there is still a trust issue somewhere. That means you are a loose wire. God needs to be sure before he releases you fully. Are you processing? This is why we must pray for each other as a church. It's not time wasting to say, hold your neighbor, pray for your neighbor. Do you know that even for Peter, may God forgive the church members of Apostle Peter. They were praying for him to be delivered. After Peter came to knock, they said he's dead. That it's his angel. The angel is just roaming about. That he's dead. People were praying. Send us our pastor. Oh, let's stretch out the prison. Break. They didn't believe. The angel still came because of their prayer. Peter now came. It was a little child amongst them that believed. All the adults, sir, it's his angel. What they meant by that is, he's dead. Nobody goes into Roman prison and comes out. There's something called the king's prison. When they put you there, there's no case. You just be there till you die. But Peter is their pastor. He's a good man. He forgave them. He started preaching again. But gospel, this is the catch. The person who saw and believed was a child. And Jesus told us some years ago, he said, except you have the heart of a child, which means that there are certain things about God I will struggle with if I don't have the heart of a child. If I don't have you see the way that your baby believes you. The way that your baby stops crying when she sees you. The baby may not be able to talk. You see that level of faith. That faith that makes you a child when you are beside God. You are not a man of God, you are a child. Says, my son, my daughter, I will give you a name that is better than 10 sons and daughters. And you say, Father, I believe. You are not saying, what will you give me after I don't have a child? God, you know the kind of job I've been doing. 6 years, 60,000. That job, even the transport fare is 70,000. I'm just going there. Say, do you believe? Say, Father, I believe. I've told you, there's a way you talk to God. It's conversational. his conversation is not like you want to break his door. Holy Ghost fire. He opened the door. Don't let him break our door. Open the door. You this one. Because of you, they're looking for carpenter. You broke down the main gate. You broke down the bedroom. Now you want to break down the restroom. Say, where is he? Where is he? He says your son goes fire. Because you're a fireman. You take it by force. He's not here. You go and bombard the kingdom of darkness. We are the ones sending you. He break on the door and say, okay. What do you want? Say, I want my business. Okay, take. Because he looked after it. That woman was banging the door of the window of the judge. Because he, even though I don't fear God or man, but this one passed me. If I don't answer her, hey, say, please. What do you want me to do? What do you want? Okay, sentence, life imprisonment. How many enemies do you have? Life imprisonment. Take, madam. I've done it. Go on. Does the court at night? The man has to solve that problem. Even though he will not sleep. Say, this man is stubborn. you break down the door of your helper. But I give you a shortcut. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord manifests in several ways. Number one, in your disposition towards sin. We live in a time where if people say to you, if we both want it, what's your problem? Is our sin affecting you? But I hope you know there was a man called Achan whose sin destroyed the nation. As I'm here, you need to be asking me, Pastor, hope you are not serving any other head door. I saw you last Sunday, but this Sunday, I don't like the way you are looking. I hope you are not worshiping. Ask me. Because the sin of a leader can destroy a nation. After I pray for you to say, Pastor, before you go, how are you? How's your spiritual life? Pastor, what did you read in the Bible today? Ask. Not that I will protect you. Me, I will not go to hell. Don't assume that people's depression or people's sadness on their face means they are in the spirit. They may be living in sin. Ask that. That's the way they used to ask us. In those days, are you in sin? Are you living in sin? They ask you straight. Say, no. Why are you taking time to answer, Brother Gwinga? Okay, see me later. Now, wow. That's what they do here. Hey. In those days, if you are living in sin, before you resume, you have to arrange yourself. 2 weeks. Start praying. Start reading Bible. So when they see you, say, you are vibrant. Huh? Come on. Open prayer. Opening prayer. That's the only thing I want you to do, but they will check your spiritual life. Opening prayer. One man of God was speaking recently about how he went to preach in America, and all the after the service he was going to the with the bishop to the exit through the exit, and he saw the instrumentalists smoking and drinking at the back of the church. Say, challenge the bishop, what's going on here? He said, we just paid them. He said, is there a problem? The bishop was asking the pastor from Nigeria, is there a problem? Is there a problem? You're asking me, is there a problem? They didn't invite him again. I ask you to preach. Focus on why you are here. Stop looking around. Amugbo was the one eating the bass. After the inside, why pastor was preaching? He went to the bar. Waiting for when they will call them again. And those are your heroes. See, I want our church to be like this. No fear. One man lied to Peter, he died. Church was just starting. That's what God used to announce the church. He killed someone. The fear of the Lord, as it has to do with making major decisions in your life. So when I say fear, I'm not talking about fear in the sense of fear. I'm talking about reverence. Is God a factor in anything you do? Or is God simply there to make it happen? If the Lord says, stay here and earn 100,000, does that please you because he said it? Or are you angry that your followership of Jesus Christ has limited you. When our parents were growing up in faith, some of them are going to Methodist Anglican, but they were very righteous. Very righteous. Because their gospel was contentment, not breakthrough. So when you see a Christian, in those days, they don't ask for certificate. Go and ask. Who knows what I'm talking about? Nobody asks for certificate. You're a Christian? You went, okay, no. Bring your result later. I was traveling to wherever. I think it was with Pastor Charles. And the police guy stopped us. So I think Pastor Charles now mentioned to me that, that's my pastor. I'm taking him out of town. The man came to me, looked at me. Say, you're a pastor. I said, yes. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for stopping. I said, come, let me pray for you. Since you have apologized, let me also bless you. The one that did not recognize grace. After he searched the document, I gave him chance. And I said, anything for hey, are you done? Okay, start the car. Let's move. I gave you your respect. You have checked the tire, which is your work. To be checking tire, you have checked everything. I didn't say anything. The moment you check, don't bother asking for 200 naira. Because my time is more important than 200 naira, and you have wasted it. So I cannot add to the loss by giving you. Your best option is to have, sir, man of God, Sean, sir. Hey. Under this bridge, we used to have some mobile officers there. I don't know where they went to. One day I was driving there and they stopped me. I asked them, I said, how can you stop me? They said, I said, I'm the pastor of that church. I said, if you come and see me later. May I just pass through? Who was here? We were having rehearsal one Saturday. All of them just marched in. Who was in this church? It was a Saturday. We were having rehearsals here. I just saw the guy downstairs ran upstairs. I said, but he was panting. I said, what's the problem? Okay, calm down. What's the problem? Say, policemen, they are here. I said, hey, say, they want to see you. You know, for the life of me, I could not even remember telling anybody to. Me, I was just joking. They now said, hey, sure, sir. I now recognize him. As you are going, say, Oga, anybody in this area that disturb you, this is my number. Just call us. I said, you are doing well. I said, you are doing well. I don't know. I know they see those guys again. Let me tell you something. Reverence, honor brings protection. If you are rebellious, angels have no mandate to secure you. If you have no fear of God, you specialize in practicing your boxing skills on your wife or maybe on your husband in case you are the one that is stronger. Let me tell you, you have opened a door. And you are the one who specializes in talking to your husband anyhow because you know your pastor says he cannot beat you. You have also exposed yourself. You are not a lover of truth. You expose yourself. You give yourself to too much of pleasure. You expose yourself. You make an excuse for yourself simply because it is something you like. When the word of God is very clear about the rules of moderation, you expose yourself. The Bible is given to us as a guide. The same way when you resume in university, they give you a prospectus, they give you a manual, tell you this is the behavior that is expected of you in a university, without which you will not graduate. When you resume in your office, they give you an employee handbook, and they tell you this is the conduct we expect. We don't fight, we don't shout, we don't do this, we don't do that. They tell you, and you come here, and you behave. They tell you, keep your Yoruba accent at home. When you come into the bank, you say, you're welcome to Echo Bank Nigeria. How may we be of service to you? Meanwhile, you are a ghost smoking person from Mushi. When you get out there, hey, bye-bye, my dear. But when you enter the bank here, you have to forget your Igbo smoking attitude and just say, oh, you're welcome. Even if the accent was to come out, you first sit back and speak like you are born in England. That is the attitude. They give you a manual. You don't push. In my own office, the punishment for pushing is dismissal. Not forgiveness. Dismissal. It's not, it's a mistake. You talk to somebody and say, what's wrong with you? Once there's a witness, it's dismissal. If there's any entire, you've been working in that bank for 20 years, it's gone. That is man to man. And yet, many of us have the right to question why God has the right to be this strict in his own Bible. Meanwhile, man to man, we say, Shebi is just for order. So what is the Bible for? If you are praying and prophesying to you and you are living in sin, deliberately, I'm not talking about a mistake now, deliberately, you expose yourself, which means the law of the Lord is perfect. And which means the law of the Lord is to protect you and put you in the place where you can continually remain blessed. I don't argue with what God says again. I can tell him, God, I don't understand it all, but I believe you. I was in a meeting with 9 years ago with one of our pastors here, Pastor Kwaju. And he made a statement. And I said, I don't agree. I said, but I know you are right. I said, but I don't agree. He said, no problem. You know, you want to argue? I said, you are right, but I don't agree. When they showed me pepper, you see that thing he said? I now experienced it. I said, experience it. When he made that statement, it was experience talking. Not Rema. I was praying, the Holy Ghost. This thing, if you do it like this, you will suffer. Come on, say, I am wise. Come on, declare it, I am wise. In the things of the Lord. Come on, declare, I am wise. In the things that pertain to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. As we close, I have taken my time to explain all these things now. Because in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7, this is the bus stop here. Did we read this verse before? Isaiah 56, 7. Please put it up. King James. To us your holy temple. To us your holy mountain. Towards your holy temple I will come. I come to you, O God.
Towards your holy temple. Towards your holy temple.
Yeah.
Towards your holy temple I will run.
I will come into your house. In the multitude of your blessings and in fear of you, I will worship. I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercies and in fear of you. I will worship
towards your holy temple, towards your holy temple, towards your holy temple I will run.
I run to you, oh God. I run to you, O God.
Towards your holy temple.
Yeah.
Towards your holy temple.
Yeah.
Towards your holy temple I will run.
I speak to every eunuch here. Look at this scripture as we round up. Don't touch the gold. Don't touch the glory. And don't touch the girls. Say, even them, speaking about the eunuchs, I will bring to my holy mountain. So there is the mountain. and there is the holy mountain. There is a section in that mountain that the Lord ushers not just everybody, but those who have prepared themselves as a eunuch. Saying thank you to me doesn't mean anything. I am only an instrument that did what the master wanted. The praise of men is good, but not necessary. If he is pleased, that is all right. You must get to that point. If not, your service to God will be hindered. You are just a spanner in his hands. If he uses the spanner to lose the car engine, nobody says thank you to the spanner. If he uses you to lose a boat or a knot somewhere, you are just an implement. See, when they say to you, say you are a great and mighty man of God, say to them, I am just an unprofitable servant. I only did what I was asked to do. It was not my idea. It was not my innovation. I didn't want to be here. I still don't want to be here. But this is the portion he has given to me, and it is okay for me. I'm happy. He said, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful. There is a joy that comes to people who dwell on the mountain. That joy is a commodity of the spirit realm. It is not something that you can lay hold on here or there. It is not common. It is the joy that is found in the house of prayer. He said, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, when they put their degree on the altar, he said, that sacrifice, I will accept it. When they turned their back on that opportunity that would have made them so much money, and they stood their ground because of me, he said, I will accept that offering. Others give offerings of money. These ones put their offerings on their life, and they put it on the altar. When you could have compromised and added 1-0 and nobody would have noticed, and you chose not to do it, and you refrained and pulled back, God said, I will accept that. Oh, it's an offering. I will take it. He said that offering and that sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, which means that there are two altars. There is the altar you raise for the Lord or unto the Lord, and there is an altar that belongs to the Lord himself, which your offerings and sacrifices come to. Only the ones that are accepted. Because Cain brought an offering, but it wasn't accepted. He brought something. He offered it. And he offered it to the Lord. Cain was not a worshiper of Satan. Cain was a worshiper of God. Yet, it was rejected. And God asked him, it's not about your offering if you have done the right thing. It's not about your offering. If you have done what is right, you would not have been rejected. Which means it was not just about what he gave. There was a defect in his life. There was a character defect in his life. It's just like when you study the life of, Esau, and you think the issue of the birthright was about food. The scripture later told us in the New Testament, he said Cain was a fornicator. He was a profane person. If he wants it, he takes it. He takes 3-3, then he comes to your shop and you are on 9-9. He takes 9-9. So let's test it. Cain has no reservation. There is no limit. There is no line. Like, oh, this one I cannot go here. He was a profane person. He was a vain person. When Muslims are bowing down and say Ramadan, he will join them in the spirit of Ramadan. He will join them. When Hare Krishna too, they show up and say in the spirit of Hare Krishna, we wish all our brethren. Brethren? Did you say brethren? Then when he comes to the church, and he sees a pastor asking people to do you want a revolution? He says, can you define revolution, sir? Anything goes. He was a profane person. He was a vain person. He was a lover of women. The Bible said he was rejected. The food was only telling us he was a man given to pleasure. But the real reason he was rejected was because he took himself out of the promise. God saw it early. Both children were crooked. Both children were crooked, but he saw that this one can be helped. Out of the two, there is one that can be helped. That is why the decision of their mother to help one and remove the other delayed the promise upon Jacob's life. In trying to help the butterfly, they crippled it.
So when we come to God like this, it's not, the song is not about singing, it's about surrender. When you come, you put yourself here. Say, God, I know you brought me here, but I also know it is very easy for me to start doing my own thing. So I bring myself again as an altar this time, as a sacrifice this time. So I didn't come with money. I didn't come. I came with my heart so that you can look at it. Peradventure, there is any evil way in me. Peradventure, I'm already hatching any plan that I'm intending to use spiritual resources like the anointing to jumpstart. Meanwhile, you have no part in it. Lord, I am here. Take it out. Any strange desire, any desire for strange flesh, Lord, I am here. Today is not about Pastor Gwenga. It's about Gwenga. Lord, if you can still fix me, if you can still do something to this my craving, I have cravings, those things I thought I walked away from, they are coming back later. Lord, today is about me. It's not about the people. Lord, if you can do something, I am here on this mountain, in the holy place. Not everybody moves from the outer court into the holy place. You must go through a measure of cleansing to be able to proceed and be given, you know, entrance into that place. And before you can move from the only place into the other, you will go through more cleansing. More cleansing. This journey is about cleansing. It's about cleansing. What you need to stay and operate at the outer court is not what, is not the level of consecration. You need to get closer to God. If you desire to come closer, you need to be cleaner. If you decide to come closer to God, you will need consecration. You will need more. Every time God beckons, what he's telling you is consecrate. Every time God beckons to you, what he says is consecrate. Let it go. He said, let it go. I will take care of you. I will bless you. Let that thing go. You cannot come close to me with that idol. He called Jacob and said, come back to the place where I first met with you. He said, take away the gold. Take away the idols. God knew that the man, after encounter, accumulated idols. His wife accumulated idols. He couldn't control his wife. He couldn't control his children. And God said, come back to where I started. Come back to where I started with you. Sometimes God will be forced to hit the reset button. Sometimes God will be forced to hit the reset button and say, restart, 0000. 000. Come on. I know I spoke to you. Come back home. Come back, everybody. Come back home. I want to see you. Let's have a retreat. Let's start from where I first met with you. The first time I met with you, you were running. This time around, I'm the one calling you. You are not running from anything. Come here. I want to see you. And when you are coming, leave your wife's where they are. Leave your children. The day I met you here, you were alone. You were empty. Come the way I met you. Come the way. Imagine a rich and wealthy Jacob with bodyguards. And God is saying, when you are coming, leave your bodyguards. Huh? The man that has all kind of cars that line up before him when he's on the road. God says, leave all those things. Come the way. You remember the way I met you? Come like that. Come like that. You don't know God. That's why we have the scripture. So that you can get a peek into his character, his nature. That God can also be very demanding. He's a jealous God. He doesn't share. He gave you your husband, but he doesn't share. You prayed, he gave you your wife. He doesn't share. He's still number one. Your wife is not the love of your life. Oh. He's first God. After you praise God, and I say, God, permission. My love of my wife, she's also here. But you first recognize the person who started the journey with you. When you die, they will take your body to the grave. Put it there. Your wife will not follow you. The angels that have walked with you will be waiting there to receive your soul. The God who you served all your life, the way he stood when Stephen was about to be killed, we also stand waiting for you. He is the love of your life, whether in death or in life. He will be there with you. So it is wrong, it's a fallacy to say a man or a woman is the love of your life, because when they bury you, the journey ends there. In fact, from that day, she can remarry and call another person the love of my life. He's a jealous God. If we prioritize him, he will come. If you build an altar, he will come. Do you know God brought you here today to start something new with you? Do you know that you came to church today, but you didn't come to the church you came to last week? He came to start something with you, something new, so that he can establish covenant. So that he can establish covenant. Look at all the time we have spent here. Let it not be for nothing. Let Jesus take the steering again. Let Jesus take the steering again. Don't be too busy easy for him. He was the one who first prospered you. He was the first who prospered you. Don't be too busy. Don't speak through your nose. Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, every one of them, I will make them joyful. Put up that scripture. On my only mountain. That means the source of their joy will not come from things. He said, their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar for my house. Come on, say my house. Come on, say my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. Another translation says for all nations. That is the destiny of every local assembly. That is the destiny of every believer. And how you know there is decay is when there is no more anyone on the altar summoning people to prayer. When there's no one saying it is time to pray. When there's no one saying, are you still praying? And that house is no more the house of prayer. It is now the house where they sell bread. Towards your holy mountain. Towards your holy temple. Towards your
holy temple I will run.
Now, you know, we didn't take any offering in the first service. The matter is very serious. But this morning, I don't know if I have one or two persons who this message was for. And you know that God needs to do a quick work with you because of where you have found yourself. Please come and join me here. I want to join my faith with you. If you are there, just come quickly, quickly. I just need one. I don't need everybody. I need the people God sent me to today to come quickly. I will run to you, oh God.
Yeah.
I run to you, oh God. Please hold your hands across. I run to you, oh God.
Towards your holy temple.
Yeah.
Towards your holy temple.
Yeah.
Towards your holy temple I will run.
I run to you, oh God.
Towards your holy temple. Towards your holy temple.
Yeah. I run to you, oh God.
Towards your holy temple.
Yeah.
Towards your holy temple.
Yeah.
Towards your holy temple.
Psalm 125 and verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people from now on and forevermore. Hallelujah. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Psalm 121 verse 1 and 2. Where does my help come from? But my help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. In Mark chapter 11 verse 23, he said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he said shall come to pass. Hallelujah. He shall have the things for which he has said. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to them, go to the people and say to them, consecrate yourselves today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Jesus, thank you because you have sent me, and I know that even right now you are standing with me here with the refiner's fire. Your children are here. Lord, cleanse them the way you cleansed Isaiah. Cleanse them. Let them feel your fire the way Isaiah felt it. Let them feel your fire the way Isaiah felt it. Let their tongues be cleansed. Let their souls be cleansed. Oh God, do something in them now that they have never experienced before. In the name of Jesus. Lord, open the channels within their spirit again. And let the communication line be restored. Lord, they have made a promise. I see the Lord changing the shoes some of you are wearing here. He's changing it and he's giving you something beautiful upon your feet. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Because your feet is now prepared for the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your feet is prepared. Oh, hallelujah. Your feet is being prepared. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 For the wind of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the wind of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the wind of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the wind of the Spirit. 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 Let it burn heavily. Let it cleanse them. Let there be purgings. Let there be purgings from within them. Let them be purgings. Let there be cleansings. Let there be restorations. Let the flames of the altar be administered. The flames from the presence of the Lord be administered. Let the flames from the altar be administered. The flames from the presence of the Lord, let it be administered in the name of Jesus. The Lord is speaking to me. Say, there are some of you with growths in your body. Say, but his flames would destroy those growths. Right now, if you are there and you have growths in your body, you better stand up right now on your feet if you are sitting. Because the flames of the Lord is going round now and is going to burn off those growths. It's going to burn them off. Whatever it is in your body, inside your body, it's going to burn it off. And you will not see it again. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, the Lord is against every messenger of death. Tonight, the Lord will visit your homes. And he will banish every messenger of death. Every spiritual terrorist around you, hijacking your dreams. In the name of Jesus, their time is up. Their time is up. Their time is up. Their time is up. My brother.